Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Hello, welcome to Main Menu, ACB Radio Mainstream's weekly two-hour look at technology from a blindness perspective. I'm Jonathan Mosen. We appreciate you being with us this week. And on the program, there is only one story for this issue, and that is a comprehensive review of the Braille Light Millennium 40, the latest note-taker from Freedom Scientific. The Braille Light Millennium series is the latest family of note-takers to come from Freedom Scientific. Recently, they've begun shipping the Braille Light Millennium M40. This is their, I guess, flagship note-taker because it has a 40-cell Braille display, it has double-talk speech, and it has a full suite of personal data applications, including word processing, email, a very powerful calculator, macro capability, a stopwatch, a countdown timer, and there's much more that we'll review over the next couple of hours. I obtained a Braille Light Millennium 40 on loan from Freedom Scientific when I was at the ACB convention in Iowa, and since then I've been using it exclusively for all my note-taking requirements in an attempt to become familiar with it and to present you with an informed demonstration and review here on today's Main Menu. Before I turn the unit on, let's talk a little bit about what we have. I'm going from memory a little bit in terms of the packaging because the packaging was so extensive that I wasn't able to bring it home with me. But there are a couple of boxes in which material for the Braille Light Millennium is shipped. The unit comes nice and snug, and it's kind of durable packaging too. So it means that if you need to save the packaging in case you need to return the unit to Freedom Scientific for an upgrade or maybe servicing, you can do that. The Millennium does come with Kinect Out Loud. A nice shrink-wrapped copy of that comes in the box as well. Now, if you are not familiar with that product, we did a separate review of Kinect Out Loud, and you'll be able to find that in the Main Menu archives. But just to briefly refresh your memory, that is the cut-down version, I guess, of JAWS for Windows that is designed to work with basic word processing and the full range of internet applications. So you get that for free when you purchase a Braille Light Millennium. You also get, obviously, all the accessories that you need, such as serial cables. You get the power adapter. You get documentation and a getting started guide to the Millennium on cassette, so that if you're the kind of person who needs to put in a cassette and be guided when you first switch the unit on, that's no problem. They have that covered for you. The manual for the Braille Light Millennium 40 is on the unit itself as a text file, and you can read that and search for specific references. Also, there's the standard help file that users of Freedom Scientific note takers, or Blazy note takers as they were, will be familiar with. Well, the unit itself, this M40, clearly has a 40 cell Braille display. It has an 8 dot Braille keyboard. Dot 7 and 8 can also double up as other things. Dot 8, for instance, can be used as the enter key in word processing applications. There's two advance bars on the M40, and they both pretty much do the same thing, certainly in note-taker mode anyway. At the end of the display, at each end, you have one of these whiz wheels. Now, those of you who've read the Freedom Scientific product literature will know that the whiz wheels are something that they think is a pretty cool new innovation. And when I've showed the whiz wheels to sighted people, they've made comparisons to these wheel mouses or mice that you can get these days. So we'll talk about the whiz wheels and how they work shortly. I've taken this note taker everywhere, as I take whatever note taker I'm using, and I've been to meetings with it in a range of forums, and what's really struck me, I can honestly say I've never had this before. I've had so many people come up to me and say, what is that really groovy-looking note-taker you've got there? There's obviously something very visually pleasing about the Millennium. It's transparent, in part, so that a sighted person can look at the Millennium and see the circuitry inside, and they seem to like that. But it looks very modern and very stylish. So let's turn the unit on now, and the first thing that people will notice if you're a Braillite or Braille and Speak user of old is the new speech. I'm going to switch the unit on, and as is my tendency with reviews of this kind, I have the audio from the note taker, from the Millennium 40, going through the mixer here in the studio, just so that you can clearly hear what's happening. Let's switch the unit on now with the switch on the right hand side.
Millennium 40 ready, help is open.
And there we go, Millennium 40 ready, help is open, that's its default speed. I should also just tell you that there are some ports in the Millennium 40. That noise, by the way, you'll hear it pretty regularly. It seems to make that noise over the mixer when the power for the speech is switched off after a bit of an activity. So I'm not sure whether that's a feature or an interesting little quirk. You have a RJ11 connector on the left-hand side of the unit. You can connect your modem lead to that between the Millennium 40 and the telephone outlet, because there is a 56K modem in this unit, which is excellent. There's also an AC adapter plug. You have four ports, these little round PS2 type ports, or serial ports, and they can be used as serial ports. There is a reference there to plugging a keyboard into them, and I don't know whether one can do that and be able to type QWERTY style on here or not. There's also a standard parallel port so that you can connect your printer up to it. And there is a port that allows you, or sort of a slot really, I guess you'd say, that allows you to connect the SanDisk flash cards, compact flash cards, which are readily available to expand the amount of capacity that your unit has. There's also a headphone jack, which we're using to feed the signal from the Millennium to the mixer here in the studio. In terms of memory on this machine, or capacity, the memory on the Braillite Millennium is not created equal. You have two types of memory built into the unit. You have RAM, random access memory, which is sort of what you'd come to expect. You are able to write and make changes to files that are in RAM, and pretty much do standard word processing functions. There is 2 megabytes of that kind of memory in the Braillite's system. So you have 2 megabytes of RAM, and then you have a further 12 megabytes of flash memory. This flash memory is read-only. So if you put a file in flash memory, you're unable to edit it. Every time you try and make an adjustment, it'll say to you, file is write protected, and the only way that you can edit files is to move them out of flash memory and back in to RAM. In previous versions of these note takers that had this kind of feature on a smaller scale, there were issues to do with the fragmentation of that flash memory. If you moved material from the RAM to the flash memory, and if you did it too often, you would find that some of the memory became unusable. Blazy did come out with a kind of a defrag utility that was supposed to alleviate that to some extent. In my use, I haven't been able to make the flash memory become fragmented, but I haven't been doing a lot of moving from flash memory to RAM. But I imagine it's one of those features that they have been working on as the flash memory technology within the Braillite series has matured over the years. So that's the two types of memory that you have. When you turn the Braillites on, you're instantly placed in a file. I've actually done a warm reset of the unit to get it back to its default parameters, and that means that it's placed me in the help file. This is a standard grade 1 or computer braille file that allows me to search for functions that I may want to find out how to use. For example, I can press dots 1, 2, 3 chord, and when we use the word chord in the context of the Braillite, that means to press it with the spacebar, and that will take me to the top of the file.
Top of file.
And on the Braille display, I'm reading the line Braillite Millennium 40 help file, and of course, because we have a full 40-character Braille display, I'm able to read that in its entirety. Now I can search simply by pressing F chord for find.
Find RAM.
And the unit said find RAM, simply because I just did a quick check before we began this review that I had the numbers right about the amount of RAM in here. So if I want to search, for example, for the stopwatch feature, I can type STP. O-P, and because it's in its default state, keyboard echo is turned on, and then I just press E chord.
Stopwatch, R equals result from calculator.
And it's telling me if I just back up through this file using the left end of the advance bar, that dots 3, 4, 5, 6 will give me the stopwatch information. So that is how one searches for information in the help file. There's also, as I mentioned, the Millennium 40 manual on here. And because I know what the name of this file is, I can simply go to the options menu with O chord.
Option.
And then do F for file.
Enter file command.
And O for open.
File to open.
It's asking me for the file to open, and I can type m40man.txt and press E chord.
m40man.txt, now open.
And now I'm in the complete manual for the Browlite Millennium 40, and it allows me to search this manual. In this product, there is not a lot of context-sensitive help. Now, there is some of sorts in the file menu, but there's not a lot of ability to hit a key and get told that this is where you are and this is what you can do at this particular point. And I think that's a pity, because it does make the unit quite complex to learn to use in some places. Let's have a look at some of the basics of setting up the unit, because I like to make a lot of changes from its defaults. To deal with that, we go into the very comprehensive and perhaps arguably speaking overwhelming status menu in the Browlite. And to do that, we do an ST chord, that's dots 3-4 with the spacebar.
Status menu, serial port off.
And the first option we come to is the serial port, and these are all grouped together in some sort of logical order, like we're going to go through the serial parameters now. And if you want to quickly move to different sets of parameters, you can press the 5-6 chord command to move forward to the next set, and the 2-3 chord command to move back. So, for example, I can push dots 5-6 chord now, and it will say...
Speech parameters.
Speech parameters, and I'll push dots 2-3 chord.
Serial parameters.
We're back to serial parameters. So I'm just going to go through these and show you how much configurability there is in the Browlite, because there certainly is a lot of it. And to move through the options, I'm going to press dot 4 chord to go forward and dot 1 chord to go back. That is a pretty standard convention in the Browlite, but again, you see, there's no context-sensitive help really here to tell you that. Let's press dot 4 chord.
9600 baud.
The easiest way to deal with this is just to press the space bar to cycle through the options.
Space 19200 baud. Space 38400 baud.
I'll leave it there. Although you can, in the new Browlite, go right up.
Space 115200 baud.
215k, so that's new in this family of products.
Space 300 baud.
All the way down there, we'll just move through.
Space 19000, space 38400 baud.
I'll leave it at that for the moment. I'll press it on 4 chord to move on.
No verity.
This is... familiar stuff for those of you into serial communications.
Half duplex, 8 data bits, 1 stop bits, software handshake.
We'll change that by pushing the space bar.
Space, no handshake, space, hardware handshake.
And now we're on hardware handshake.
Add line feed when transmitting, on.
Add line feed when transmitting. There's a couple of instances in this product where there are prompts that belong to the Braille light itself that don't speak correctly, and that's one. Add linear feed when transmitting, and also you'll hear when we get to the date book that it doesn't say date book properly either. But anyway, add line feed when transmitting is on, and we'll leave it on.
Reject ornamentation characters, off.
This is quite a good feature to have turned on, actually, if you find that you're getting files sent to you or email messages or whatever with a lot of asterisks and things and other little fancy characters that don't really add any context to what you're looking at, so I'm going to turn that on.
Space, reject ornamentation characters, on.
I just press the space bar to toggle it. Now we'll push dot 4 to move on.
Speech on.
With the space bar, of course. Speech is on. We want that on because it's not much of a review on a radio program if you can't hear what it's saying. But while we are talking about having the speech off, just a reminder that you can do that, of course, and use the Braille display exclusively, which is excellent when you want to read silently or when you're referring to notes in a meeting environment or perhaps giving a presentation from notes that you have. There are a couple of interesting quirks I have observed with having the speech off, though. The most serious of which is that when you use the ER chord feature, which scrolls the display when speech is off or reads continuously when speech is on, There's no way I've found to stop the scrolling of the Braille display. It's really amazing. I've tried Z chord, E chord, pretty much hitting every conceivable combination I can think of on the keyboard, and I just can't stop the Braille display from scrolling once you start it. And so the only way that I've been able to find to do that is to switch the unit completely off and then back on again. So I think that's a bit of a bug there.
Word exceptions check off.
Well, the word exceptions check feature is off, and it's here in the status menu, and that's a feature that many legacy product users of the Braille Light will be familiar with. What it allows you to do is set up a list of words that the speech is mispronouncing and type in correct pronunciations. Good stuff. However, even when I turn this feature on, I am unable to get the word.fix file to work at all, and I notice that there's no reference to the word exceptions in the Braille Light Millennium 40 manual. So whether that means that it's here in the status menu but not actually implemented, I'm not sure. I would presume that's the case.
Speak words in Braille mode off.
I'll show you this, actually. We'll just pop out of the status menu.
Exit.
With an E chord. And now I'm going to go to the top of this Braille Light Millennium manual file. You remember we went there when we were last looking at documents, and the Braille Light is excellent about remembering not only where you were in the file, but the position, and it's instantly getting you back. This file is actually quite a large document, by the way, and I can go to the top of it.
Top of file.
I'm instantly there. Braille Light Millennium User's Manual is on the Braille display. I'm going to push spacebar with dots 456.
Enter file.
And it's there already. It's just so snappy in that regard. With large files, it's incredible. It really is very fast, and there's no delay with loading a file or anything like that. Very, very impressive. It's always been like that with the Braille Light family, actually. And I'll just show you how big this file is.
Option, enter file, m40man.txt, flash file, 34 pages, is open, enter file.
Okay, so it's 34 pages, and in the context of the Braille Light, a page consists of 4K. So this is a reasonably big file. You know, you're looking at around about 120K, slightly larger. Now, I'm at the top of the file, and I was going to show you the difference between the speak words in say all mode and not having it on. So this is with speak words in say all turned off. We're going to make the speech read continuously by pressing the ER chord.
The Braille Light Millennium User's Manual Freedom Scientific. Blind low, vision proof, June 2001. Getting started introduction. The Braille Light is a note taker and personal digital assistant with built-in speech synthesizer, 20 or 40 cell Braille display, a Natop Perkins style keyboard, and built-in applications such as Gatbook, Phonebook, and Calculator. This note taker.
Okay. Now I'm going to go to the status menu again.
Status menu, speak words in say all mode off.
And again, nice feature of the Braille Lights is that it does remember what you were last doing in these menus. And so I can just press the space bar.
Space, speak words in say all mode on.
And exit.
Exit.
And now let's read this.
The Braille Light Millennium User's Manual Freedom Scientific. Blind, low vision, group, June 2001. Getting started. Introduction.
Yeah, a bit of pause for thought there.
Top of file.
But a bit too jerky for my taste, so I'm going to turn it off.
Status menu, speak words in say all mode on. Space, speak words in say all mode off.
You'll notice, though, that even when speak words in say all mode was not turned on, there were some interesting pauses going on with the double talk speech. Pauses where I wouldn't have expected there to be pauses. Now, I don't have a lot of familiarity with double talk at all, but in talking with other people, they tell me that double talk is not normally that choppy. And actually, while it may not be terribly much of a problem at the current default speed that we're at, when you crank it right up, it's even more noticeable. It gets more and more choppy. So I hope that that's something that Freedom Scientific will address in future releases of the software. We'll continue our traversing of this extensive status menu. Dot 4 chord moves us on. This is a feature where it attempts to look at combinations of words and numbers that may be call letters and spell them out. It does have a logic to it to do with where it sees letters and numbers, and if it sees them in a certain sequence, it will spell them out instead of trying to merge them all together and make some sort of phonetic nonsense out of them.
Braille display on.
The Braille display is on. Now we're going to the Braille display parameters.
Serial tracking on. Keyboard tracking on.
This is all to do with what happens when you type. What are you seeing on the Braille display? So, for example, it is possible with different combinations of using append mode and these different tracking options to actually be looking at something else on the display as you type somewhere else in the file, which can at times be quite useful. If you're, for example, looking at a complicated series of numbers and you are writing in a way that you want to make a textual comment about those. You can have the numbers in front of you on the note taker while you're typing.
Reverse advance off.
Reverse advance is a feature that I've actually become quite used to on the larger. I never used to do it in the 18 when I had one, but with this Millennium 40 that I have for the purposes of this review, I have turned reverse advance on. Essentially, that just means that the left end of the advance bar moves you forward and the right end of the advance bar, or plural in fact, because you've got two advance bars, the right end of the advance bars move you back. And I just find with the longer display, that speeds me up, but it's one of those personal preference things. I'll turn it on.
Space, reverse advance on, 8-dot mode off.
You can turn 8-dot mode on or off.
Control chars off.
The control chars feature is actually quite good. I do turn this on sometimes when I'm looking at some files, because one of the things I've always appreciated about the Braille lights is that you do see the actual control character. For example, when you see two hard carriage returns in a file, you don't see a kind of a symbol that shields you from the real stuff. You just see two control M characters. For one thing, it takes up less space than the old VersaBraille dollar P convention that others have adopted as well. And space is all important on a Braille display, but also I just like seeing the raw data there. Anyway, I'll leave them off for the moment.
Cursor always visible off.
You can always see the cursor, and the cursor, it seems, on the Millennium 40 in note taker mode kind of jumps up and down, sort of blinks at you, and at the moment I'm going to leave that off. But when you use the cursor routing functions, it will turn the cursor on, and we haven't actually talked about those, so let me just do that while I remember to. The Braille Light Millennium has 40 cursor routing buttons, one for each cell. So above, if you're reading a document and you want to do some editing, you just take your hand a little bit up above the cell and you'll find the cursor routing button. You hit that and the cursor jumps instantly to the cell with the error in question. There are some guiding dots on the Braille Light Millennium 40, which I have found really useful because it is a longish display, and you'll find a dot above the 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, and 35 cell mark.
Word wrap on.
Word wrap is on. Wouldn't want to turn that off in most cases, but if you were in a programming situation where you're writing code on the Braille Light, you may want to turn word wrap off.
And display on carriage return off.
This can be quite useful if you're using the Braille Light to read some sort of textbook, because you'll be able to instantly see when a new paragraph starts, because it will end the display on a carriage return.
Display all on.
That's the display all feature.
Great, two messages on.
You can tell the Millennium whether you want to see prompts in grade 2 or not. They are on by default.
View in grade 2 on.
View in grade 2 is a feature that you can turn on so that when you see a text file, instead of seeing it come up in grade 0 Braille, you will see it come up in grade 2.
Braille translator off.
I should say, though, that you have to be a bit careful about that because you do still have to edit in grade 1. And so when you, say, route the cursor to a word that may contain an error or something that you want to alter, then the word containing the cursor will be expanded and you'll see it in grade 1 so that you can edit it appropriately. The Braille translator is what you would generally have on when you were writing in grade 2.
Cursor tracking on.
That's cursor tracking.
Speed at column 0.
I guess that you might have this on a lot, particularly if you've turned word wrap on so that you can put a hard carriage return in after, say, every 72 characters or whereabouts. It just sounds a small bell type sound.
Speak windows, lines or sentences. Lines.
Speak windows, lines or sentences, and this is a feature that governs the use of the dots 4 chord and the dots 1 chord in the word processor. They will move you forward or back through the file by the unit specified here. And I'm going to set it to sentences because I mostly work with text.
Yes, speak windows, lines or sentences. Sentences.
I just press S for sentences. Now I can press dot 4 chord to move forward.
Window length 8-0.
And the window length is 8-0. That really is going to be of importance if you have speak windows turned on.
PC editing off.
PC editing off. Well, I guess this is a kind of a legacy thing, because it's only been until quite recently that you've been able to use the Braille Light like a modern word processor. And by that I mean that you can just put the cursor somewhere and insert some text, and all the other text following it gets shoved along. Until about 2 or 3 years ago, You had to do an I chord to insert material and then an E chord to end the insertion. Well, that's still the default, actually. And the feature's called PC Editing to turn it on, and we have a couple of options here.
Space PC Editing On.
PC Editing On, or...
Space PC Editing On with Insert at Startup.
PC Editing On with Insert at Startup, which is certainly what I prefer because I've just become so used to operating in a word processor in that way. One of the advantages of turning PC Editing off, though, is that often I find when I'm using Braille note takers, and perhaps it's to do with the sloppy way I am brailing or something, that often I start pressing the next letter that I want to type before completely releasing the spacebar. The result of that is that I've pushed some sort of chord command, and it often seems to happen to me with the letter L for some reason, so I'm accidentally at the top of the file with PC editing mode turned on, and I didn't realize. So suddenly I'm typing in information at a point in the file that I didn't want to be. So the flexibility that one has to turn that off in certain circumstances is great, because it means you're always, no matter whether you accidentally pushed some sort of chord command or not, going to be appending to the file, putting material at the bottom. So it's good to have those choices.
Skip blank lines on.
Skip blank lines is on. That's the default, I guess, because except in cases of formatting issues, you really want to get to the text without too much information about that sort of thing.
Distinguish case during find off.
Should the find be case sensitive, essentially, and generally you would not want it to be.
Progress clicks on.
Well, this is a feature that gives you some noise as Braille Light is searching for different things.
Say ASCII values off.
The say ASCII values is a feature that if you push the say character function a couple of times, it will give you its ASCII value.
Printer is Epson compatible.
We have a couple of options here to do with printers.
Space printer is ImageWriter. Space printer is HP. Space printer is Epson compatible.
All right, now we're back to printer is Epson compatible.
Number of pages off.
So these are now the print parameters, by the way, as you can tell.
Put page number on first page off. Double space off. Print line length 7.5. Print left margin 10. Print page length 6.0. Print top margin 6. Braille line length 3.3.
Now we're on to the Braille parameters.
Braille left margin 1. Braille page length 2.5. Braille top margin 1. June 15, 2001 release.
This is telling us the revision date of the software in the Braille Light Millennium.
Battery level 58.
This is the battery level. Now, this is an opportunity for me to talk to you about the battery level. Firstly, the amount of juice one gets. I am very impressed with this. I have had well over 30 hours of charge in the Braille Light Millennium, and I think that's great. Now, what's not so great is that when you plug the unit in to the mains, to the electricity, there is no way of telling, as far as I've been able to tell, whether the Braille Light is charging or not. With the older Braille Light 18 that I have a lot of experience with, this prompt would say something like 58% not charging. What it says here now is battery level 58. And when you plug the unit into charge, it gives you no indication whatsoever as to whether the unit is charging, and the battery level doesn't go up. So if you've been charging the unit for 4 hours or something, and you charged it at a point where the battery level was at zero, then when you come into the status menu, even though the unit's probably fully charged after 4 hours of being charged, this gas gauge thing is still going to say that the battery level is zero. Now, the only way that I was able to find out whether the unit was in fact charging was to ask a sighted person who told me that a red light had come up on the unit and that when the charging was complete, a green light had come up on the unit. Well, you know, that's a heck of a lot of help. And I hope that that will be something that's addressed in the future, because it is a bit of a concern when you take it out on the road. It looks like it's plugged in. You can probably feel some heat from the box and make a fair assessment that it's charging, but you still want that assurance.
Battery used 15 hours, 19 minutes.
I've always liked this feature in the Braille Light because it enables you to get a clear view of how long your battery is lasting. And if you get to a situation after a few years of use or whatever that the battery is going flat quicker and quicker, then you probably know it's time to go and get a service. And you can quickly look in here, and as long as you reset the gas gauge every time you charge the unit, you can see exactly how much life in hours and minutes you're getting from the unit. Obviously, when you switch it off, this timer stops, so it's only timing the amount of actual use when the brow light's been on.
Check appointments off.
Check appointments is a feature that's pertinent to the date book. When you have this on, you turn on the unit and it will check the date book to see whether there are any entries in it for the current day. And if there are, then it will ask you, do you want to open the date book? If there aren't, it just continues as normal without disturbing you.
Hourly announcement off.
You can have an hourly announcement. Let's just have a look at the options for that.
Space, hourly announcement, voice only. Space, hourly announcement, bell only. Space, hourly announcement, bell and voice. Space, hourly announcement off.
So you can have voice only, voice and bell, or you can turn it off. So if you want to observe the hours going by, you can turn that on.
Power reminder on.
The power reminder is a feature where after 5 minutes of inactivity of the unit, it will come up and say, hello. And if the speech is off, it'll make a beep. I'm actually going to turn that off.
Space, power reminder off.
Because I often just have it running at meetings, and it's really annoying when it suddenly pops out and says, hello. It can be quite amusing at times.
Allow folder mode off.
Folder mode is a feature in the Braille lights that's been around for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years now, that I personally really like because it allows you to sort documents into some sort of logical order. And especially when you've got all this much memory to play with, because 14 megabytes of storage is a lot of storage. And you've got that with the 2 megs of RAM and 12 megs of flash memory. So I'm going to turn folder mode on.
Space, allow folder mode on.
And press dot 4 to continue.
Language A.
You can put a couple of languages in the Braille Light Millennium. That could be important if you are bilingual or if you're training and you have clients who speak other languages. It also does actually allow you, although I don't know about the advisability of this, to put a couple of different revisions. I guess that might be good if you're beta testing the software and you can put the beta into language A and the older version into language B just in case you need to switch back. But as I say, I don't know whether that comes as a recommended course of action.
Serial port off.
And now we're back. So that is the status menu. As you can see, that's a pretty comprehensive set of configuration parameters. While we're looking at configuration and flexibility, we can also go into the speech parameters menu. To do that, we have to exit here.
Exit.
And now we're back into the Braille Light Millennium User's Manual up on the Braille display. And I'm going to press an AR chord to get into the speech parameters. And again, the only way that you can really know about these things is careful reading of the manual or a quick scan of the help file, because there's no context sensitive help or menu as such.
Set speech parameters.
Now, again, there's no help here, so I'm just going to tell you that I know what to do. Let's press the space bar.
Key echo words. Key click on. Silent keys. Key echo.
I will leave the keyboard echo turned on because that will help you to get a feel for what I'm doing. Let's see what else we can do. If I press dot 4 within the speech parameters.
Louder.
Now we're adjusting the volume. Dot 1.
Softer.
Makes it softer. Let's move through what happens with dots 5 and dots 2.
Bigger.
Now we're going into different voices that the double talk offers.
Big pop. Precise beat. Rickish A&D. Biff. Skip.
Robo Robert.
And that's the end. So now let's move back with dot 2.
Robo Robert.
Skip. Biff. Rickish A. Precise beat. Big pop. Bigger. Perfect ball.
There's perfect ball. And dots 6 and dot 3.
Faster. Slower. Slower.
And there we go. We'll just slow it down a little bit.
Slower.
There we go. Hopefully that'll help. There doesn't appear to be any way that you can adjust the pitch of the double talk voice in here, which is interesting. So that's the speech parameters. We'll press an E chord to exit now.
Exit.
Let's have a look at some basic word processing. I'm going to go to the options menu.
Option.
And now F for file.
Enter file command.
And now we can do a C for create.
File to create.
You notice there's a lot of keystrokes involved in getting places, and there don't appear to be any real shortcut chord keys to bypass all of that. Anyway, file to create, and with the Braille Light, you do have to type in computer Braille for these sorts of prompts. You don't have the option of typing in grade 2 for these. So I'm going to type test, T-
T- S-T
dot B-R-F.
Period. B-R-F.
The reason why I'm putting an extension like that at the end is that with certain extensions, like BRL and BRF, and probably a couple of others, the Millennium does know then to turn the Braille translator on, which is a good feature. I'm going to press E chord to accept this.
Test.brf now open.
And here we are. And on the Braille display, it says 19, which is the number of the file in flash, in the RAM rather. Test.brf 0, and then it tells me that it's one Braille page. I'm going to start typing, and I can type in grade 2.
Dot 6, H, E, L, L, O, low D, space.
Hello.
Dot 6, I, space.
I.
A, M, space.
M.
T, Y, P, I, N, space.
Typing.
O, N, space. T, A, space. B, R, L, space.
I should have actually put a capital there, but never mind.
Dot L, I, T, E, low D.
Hello, I am typing on the Braille light. Now, the B for Braille has no capital sign. And so I'm going to press the cursor routing button right above where the letter B is. And now I have the cursor blinking away under the letter B. Now I'm just going to press a dot 6.
Dot 6.
And there we go. We have the capital B-I-L light. So it's really easy to do editing thanks to the cursor routing buttons. I'm going to go to the bottom of the file with the dots 4, 5, 6 chord.
End of file.
Now, it says end of file. I'm going to press the enter key twice.
Return. Return.
And we'll put two new lines in, and we'll make the next paragraph.
Dot 6.
This
C-H space
is
I-S-
the
space
second
space
sentence.
Space.
And now, I'm going to press the cursor routing button above the dot 6 for the this is the second sentence. And here we are. Now I'm going to go to the delete menu. To do that, I press a D chord.
Enter delete parameter. Block. Character. Line.
I'm moving through now with a spacebar.
Mark block. Paragraph. Sentence. Word. Cursor to end of text.
And that's all. So, as you can hear, there are actually quite a few things that we can delete.
Word. Sentence. Word.
So there's sentence, and if I do a dot 3-6 chord here, by the way, which is a feature that is implemented in the Braille light quite a lot, it will tell me the shortcut key.
S.
S is the shortcut key for sentence, so I'll push S.
Sentences.
And now, I can actually type in a number at this point. This is a really good feature if you know your document well. Let's say I wanted to delete the next 5 sentences. I just press the number 5 and then E chord. If I don't put a number here and just press E chord, then it will delete the current sentence, which is what I want.
Okay.
Now, it's gone. And that sentence has actually gone to the clipboard, which is just a regular text file called clipboard, accessible within the Braille light. But it does mean that if I've accidentally deleted this sentence, I can get it back simply by doing the paste command, which is dots 3, 4, 6 chord with the spacebar.
Paste what?
Paste what, it says. And now we can move through the options.
Clipboard. Date. File. Get date. Result. Time. Stopwatch or timer.
Quite a few options there, but let's go back to clipboard. In fact, we won't even go back there. We can just press the letter C.
Clipboard. Okay.
And now the sentence is back. This is the second sentence is back on the display. And we can confirm that,
top
of course,
of
by going to the top of the file and reading it.
Hello. I am typing on the Braille light. This is the second sentence.
And that concludes that short file. So, deleting is actually a bit of a cumbersome task, to be honest, in the Braille light, because you've got to, let's say you wanted to delete the current word, you've got to do a D chord, W, E chord. That is 3 keystrokes just to delete the current word. However, the upside of that is that there's enormous flexibility in terms of quickly deleting, say, the next 7 words or the next 7 paragraphs or whatever. So, you, I guess it's a swings and roundabouts thing. If you're going to be using your Braille light documents so that they need to be printed, then you may want to use some of the formatting commands that are available. Again, there's no real menu system about these, and you do have to remember them. They're based on a dollar sign sequence. You push space followed by $ and then a command. For example, space $ C space will send to the current line, space $ UB space will begin underline, and space $ UF space will turn underlining off. Now, I think that there may be some information about this in the help file. We can get back there from most places in the Braille light by pressing a question mark chord. That's a computer Braille question mark chord. Dots 1456.
Help is open.
Now we're in the help file, and I'll go to the top.
Type a file.
And we'll do an F chord.
Find.
And it's asking me, what do I want to find? I'm going to type center, and I'll spell it the American way, because I believe it will be...
C-E-R.
And press E chord.
Center current line $ C new paragraph.
There we go. So it says center current line $ C. And so that's really what you have to do if you're not familiar with a command. You need to search this help file like that and find the appropriate information from there. So the dollar sign commands do allow you to produce some pretty nicely looking formatted documents. Obviously, there's no footnotes or some more complex formatting issues like that, but you tend not to find those in note takers. Navigating within Braille Light documents has some logic to it. If you want to move forward by windows, lines, or sentences, depending on which of those options you've chosen from the Braille Light's status menu with the option we showed you earlier, well, to move forward, you would press .4 chord. To move back, you press .1 chord. To read the current window, line, or sentence, depending on what's selected, you would choose .14 chord. Going down lower, because it's a smaller unit, to move forward by words, it's .5 chord. To move back by words, it's .2 chord. To read the current word, it's .25 chord, and pressing it a second time will spell the word. And going lower still, because it's a smaller increment again, to read forward by character, it's .6 chord. To move back, it's .3 chord. To read the current character, it's .36 chord. And then you can press .36 chord again to get its phonetic alphabetical representation. Paragraphs, you can move forward by pressing .56 chord and backwards by pressing .23 chord, but for some interesting reason, you can't read the current paragraph in the Braille Light with .2356 chord. I'm not sure why that is, because it doesn't seem to be assigned to another key. If there's a point in the document that you want to come back to, you can set a mark in that file. For example, I'm in the help file, and we're at the point where it talks about the centering of text. If I know I want to refer back to that, I can just press M chord.
Mark.
And it said the word mark, and it has placed a mark there. Let's go back to the top of the file.
Top of file.
Now, if I want to move to the mark, in fact, I can move to a whole range of places. And to do that, I would do a number sign chord.
Move.
And we're in the move menu. Let's have a look at what options we have by doing a .4 with the spacebar.
Absolute page. Braille page. Character. Line. Mark. Print page. Word.
So those are the options. You may have heard the term absolute page. This is again referring to the fact that Braille Light documents are measured in pages of 4,096 characters. And in older versions of the Braille Light, you would have to actually expand your document if you were going to exceed the given number of pages that you originally allocated to the document. That's no longer necessary. That's all done dynamically. So let's move back here.
Mark.
To mark, and if we want it in the hotkey, we can do with .36 with the spacebar.
M.
And it's M. So we'll type M.
Mark, enter O chord CH, .16, enter W forward or Z for all from cursor to end of file, enter W for.
And that's interesting because it hasn't actually taken me, I mean, it's found a mark, but it hasn't taken me to the center line part. In fact, I'll just try and find center. I'll go backwards.
Enter $ BNPT, page numbers, bottom right.
So I don't quite know why that doesn't work. We'll just try it in another file, and this gives me an opportunity to show you that by pressing an OU chord.
Test.brf1 page Braille file.
We're straight back into the previous file. That's a really good feature, especially when you're dealing with two files that you're switching between pretty regularly. And again, the good thing about this is that it doesn't matter how big the file is or the files are. When you're switching back between them, you're instantly in the next file. I'm going to try and set a mark here.
This is the second sentence.
Okay, this is the second sentence, and I'm going to set it there, so we'll push M chord.
Mark.
We'll go to the top of the file.
Top of file.
and they will do a number sign chord.
Move.
And M for mark.
Mark, this is the second sentence.
Okay, work that time. So maybe it's just something to do with the help file. Unfortunately, you can only set one marker in any one file. So if you set a marker and then you set a second one, then the second marker overrides the first one. And that's a bit unfortunate because there are often instances where you want to mark a range of places in the same file. One of the nice things is that the markers do appear to work, though, in Flash documents, so that's good. We can also get all sorts of status information from within the word processor about where we are. A WH chord for where am I?
Column 2, cursor at 54.
Gives us that information. We can also go into the SH chord menu.
Enter P, B, or A.
Enter P, B, or A. This will tell us the print page we're on, the braille page we're on, or the absolute page that we're on. We are on print page.
Please wait. Page 1, line 11.
Page 1, line 11. In the braille version, we
Enter
are on...
B, please wait. Page 1, line 6.
Page 1, line 6. That's interesting. I guess it's because there's a bit of a top margin there in the print. And the absolute page...
Enter page 1.
That's the braille light page. So there's lots of status information in there. Let's have a look at the file menu, because there's all kinds of ways in which we can manipulate files in the Braille Note. It's quite extensive. So we go to the Options menu.
Option.
And choose File.
Enter File command.
Now, there is a large number of file commands here, and I'm very pleased to say that here there is a bit of context-sensitive help, and I'd love to see this implemented in other parts of the machine. We can do a question mark chord in computer Braille.
File command menu.
And we have a file command menu. Very good. And we can use dots 4 to move forward and dots 1 to move back.
Exit files menu. Create file.
And don't forget that we can press dots 3, 6 chord.
C.
For the hotkey. So we can learn the hotkeys if we need to.
Open an existing file. Find file.
Find file is a good feature, especially since we're dealing with a lot of files on this note taker now, when you've got effectively about 14 megabytes of different bits of storage that you can use. So the find file feature allows you to type in a file name, and if you're in folder mode especially, it will do a quick sort. For example, I can, we'll try this, we'll press enter on it.
Enter file name.
And I'll type EXP. ENS.brf and press enter.
Expenses.brf, one page braille file.
And it's found that file, and it's highlighted it so that I can simply press E chord to get into the file. You can also use partial file names to find files if you're not quite sure of what it is that you're looking for. So that's a good feature.
File
Let's go back in here.
Open a find, delete a file.
You can delete a file.
Global delete.
The global delete command allows you to use wildcards to delete more than one file at a time.
Write protect currently open file.
Write protect currently open file simply means that you will be unable to edit that file if you write protect it.
Unprotect currently open file.
Which is the opposite of write protecting it.
Make currently open file bigger.
This is a bit of a legacy command, and I'm not sure why it's still there, but it allows you to make the file larger, give it a bit more space. It's, I guess it stems from the days when you had to do that in the legacy products. However, it might be good if you want to reserve some space for a file that you know is going to get bigger in the future, and you just simply can't afford to run out of space. It's such a critical file. I guess that allocates further space for that file, and it can't be used for anything else in case you are going to fill up your note taker.
Make currently open file smaller.
Well, that's, I guess, the reverse.
Rename currently open file. Password protect file.
The password protect file feature is excellent because when a blind person carries a product like this around with them, there could be some very sensitive data on here. Might be information about employees or clients, if you happen to be working in that sort of environment. More commonly, it may be some sort of credit card information or passwords for accounts or programs that you're using, especially if you're in the PC business, you're doing some troubleshooting. You might have a whole lot of sensitive passwords, all sorts of stuff. Might be love notes. Whatever it is, you can password protect the file. Very good.
Recover currently open file.
That's, I guess, if you inadvertently delete material that you didn't intend to delete. That I have seen that work with mixed results. Sometimes you get lots of spurious characters, but I guess it's going to get it back for you, or at least have a good go.
Tell name of currently open file.
That will just tell you the name and the size of the file.
Tell complete file information for specified file.
Now, the difference here, and the shortcut for that key is
I.
Let's have a listen to what that tells us.
Enter file name.
We'll type m40man.txt.
m40man.txt. Flash file 34 pages. Date 627. 1 time 840. 136,557 bytes. File is write protected. Enter file command.
That gives you all the information you could ever hope to want to know.
File command.
We'll just go back through this menu.
Write protect current unpro maker and maker and rename current leo password pro recover tell name of tell complete file information for specified file. Tell date and time when specified file was last modified. Tell by count of specified file. List all files and number of free pages. Quick list of files. Purpose list of files. Copy file list to clipboard. Tell number of free pages remaining. File transfers.
Well, file transfers is a whole area that we could get into, but just to briefly summarize it, this is the ability for you to use protocols, binary transfer file protocols, such as Xmodem and Ymodem, Ymodem-G, and I think Kermit may be in there as well. And you can also use ASCII to transfer. So you would need to use a product like Hyperterminal for Windows or some other terminal application to use that that feature. There is another way to transfer files between a PC and the note taker, and that is WinDisk, which is something that we have also reviewed in the past on Main Menu. That allows you to have the Braille light come up in Windows Explorer, and then you can move through the files and folders as if you were browsing another drive and copy and paste. So I think that's probably what a lot of people are using, but if you do want to use the terminal type of application, that support is still there.
Receive PC Ymodem transfer. Transfer selected file to disk drive or PC. Tell complete information about selected file. Tell date and time when selected file was last modified. Tell by count of selected file, speed name and file number of currently selected file.
So these commands apply specifically to the currently selected file.
Spell name of currently selected file. Speed name of previous file in file list. Speed name of next file in file list. Move to top of file list. Move to end of file list. Open currently selected file. Delete currently selected file. Make currently selected file bigger. Make currently selected file smaller. Rename currently selected file. Write protect currently selected file. Unprotect currently selected file. Execute selected program.
There's a huge range of programs available simply because the Blazy note takers have been around for about 14 or 15 years now. So there are great programs out there, including games, checkbook management software, financial calculators, I think, are there. Braille translation packages, all sorts of things.
Execute selected program allowing for arguments. Toggle selected program between quick load and normal load. Move to next program in the file list. Move to previous program in the file list. Information about selected program. Create folder when in folder mode. Delete empty folder when in folder mode.
Now we're into folder mode type commands. So you can create a folder. The folder can be either a RAM folder, in which case the material in that folder is going to be stored in RAM memory, or it can be a flash folder. And I guess if you are loading books, if you are a US citizen and you have access to WebBrowse, for instance, you'd probably put your WebBrowse books in your flash memory because you're unlikely to want to edit those.
Move specified file to a different folder. Move the selected file to another folder. Move to next folder. Move to previous folder. Speed name of currently open folder. Go to first folder when in folder mode. Go to last folder when in folder mode. Change name of current folder.
And that's the end of the very comprehensive file menu. All of those commands have key strokes, and you'd be a pretty impressive person if you can remember all of those keystrokes and instantly zap around, so that's why they've put that menu in there. This is, I suppose, an example of the benefits of using a product that is really mature. Although this is a new product with a few new features, it's still based on all of the software that has developed with the input of blind people over a long period, and there's lots of file command manipulation material in there. So that's the file command. And
not in
what
folder
I'm going
mode.
To do.
Enter file command.
Yes, I was just going to do that actually. I'm going to press the space bar now.
Folder mode. RAM startup RAM folder.
Now I'm in folder
enter
mode.
File command.
And you'll see it now tells me that the RAM startup folder is open. This is the default folder, and you can't delete this one. If I do a .56 code.
Flash startup flash folder. Enter file
I'm
command.
Now in the flash startup folder. So that's also one you can't delete. But I've created some other folders in Flash.
Books Flash folder, enter file
I've
command.
I've got a folder for books that I've scanned.
Governance Flash folder, enter file command.
One for a governance project I'm working on.
APC Flash folder, enter file command.
One for the Association of Blind Citizens of New Zealand, of which I'm president.
Programs Flash folder, enter
programs.
File command. Email Flash folder, enter file command.
And I've got the email programs in a separate folder now. And that's the end. So you can store files in folders and just make it easy to quickly get to where you want to be. It's also quite easy to move material. So, for example, if I go back here,
Books Flash folder, Flash start RAM startup RAM folder, enter file command.
I'm in the RAM startup, so let's find something here.
Gatbook.brl, what Jonathan, review.brf, one page.
Okay,
rail
here's
file.
Some notes I made for the review. So let's say I want to move these to another folder. All I do is put a GH cord in here.
Select a folder, RAM startup RAM folder, Flash startup Flash
and
folder.
I will move it from RAM startup to Flash startup.
Please wait. Okay, enter file command.
And it's there. I can now go into Flash Startup.
Flash Startup, Flash Folder, enter file command.
It'll be the last file in the list of this folder, so I'll push A.456 code.
Review.brf1
there it is.
Braille file.
And I'll press my .126 code again.
Select a folder, Flash Startup, Flash Folder, RAM Startup, RAM Folder.
And I've chosen RAM Startup. I push E code.
Please wait. Okay, enter
and
file
back.
Command.
Probably at the end of the list now. So that's how easy it is to move material around. In the folder system, the ability to move files like that is a really good feature. They have done a good job. I can't really think of too much. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, in fact, that I would like to see in the suite of file manipulation commands. Very extensive and well done. And just before we leave the subject of this file command system, I should point out also that although you can move files to various folders around the place, you don't have to be in that particular folder in order to open the file. So you can do an O chord F and an O to open the file from anywhere. It's a bit like having every folder on the path in the old DOS days. So that's a really good feature as well, that you can put everything in different folders for browsing purposes, but all files at all times are available to you to open. We'll go to the options menu now.
Exit.
I'm going to press O chord.
Option.
And let's move through the options menu with .4 and the space bar.
Check appointments.
Check appointments. If we do that, we push E chord.
Not found. Help is open.
And now there are no appointments at the moment, so it'll pop me into the help file.
File
That's
is right.
Fine.
Protect option. Check appointments. Braille display.
This will toggle the Braille display on and off.
Calculator.
The calculator is something we'll have a look at now, since it's come up next. To get there, we could have just pressed O chord C, and as we arrow through these options, we can verify that command by just doing .36 in the spacebar.
C.
So now we know that C is the calculator command. Let's go in there with E chord.
C. Calculator ready.
And we're in the calculator. Now, of course, it does all the...
1 plus 1, 2...
or does your regular calculation functions, such as add and divide. You can do some pretty good statistical functions in here, including, you know, average and median, and I think it does mode and a number of other more complex statistical functions that I can only vaguely remember from when I was doing a statistics paper a couple of years ago. But there is no menu system in the calculator. If you do a question mark chord,
not valid calculator command,
it would be really good if they would implement a menu, much like the one I just showed you in the file menu, where there's just this huge amount of command choices that you have. But you can go to this menu and get access to them all. So really the only thing you can do is go back out of the calculator, go into the help file, and look up the commands that you're interested in, and then go back into the calculator and implement them, which is a bit of a chore. It has memory so that you can store numbers and results and work with those. And it also has some interesting conversion functions. I must be quite upfront and say that I'm not qualified to review the powerful functions of the calculator. The dealing with mathematics is not something I do a lot of. I calculate percentages for tax purposes and do some basic addition and store things in memory for easy retrieval, but that's about the size of it these days. It seems to me, though, to be quite comprehensive, this calculator, but I will show you some of the conversion functions, because if somebody who has to deal with an audience from around the world, I do find some of the conversion functions really good. For example, somebody says, well, it's a hot day, it's 104 degrees. I haven't got a clue what that is, because we use Celsius and not Fahrenheit. But with the Braille light calculator, I can type, for example, C-E-N-T for centigrade.
C-E-N-T-I.
And then open bracket, which happens to be the of symbol in literary Braille as well, so it makes sense. Centi of.
Left paren.
And we will type, say, 104.
Right paren.
And then E-chord.
40.
And we hear that that's 40 degrees Celsius.
Clear.
Similarly, we can type Fahren for Fahrenheit.
F-A-R-E-N.
Open bracket.
Left paren.
40.
40.
And then close bracket.
Right paren. 104.
And 104 degrees Fahrenheit. It does a similarly nice job with centimeters and inches, kilograms and ounces, and different things of that kind. So the conversion functions are a nice feature in the calculator. Let's exit it now. I'll clear this result.
Exit.
You can, by the way, also, just before I leave the calculator, you can do calculations and then paste the result of the calculator into an open file. And so there's good integration there between the calculator and the word processing functions of Braille Light.
Option.
I'm back in the options menu.
Check appointments, Braille display, calculator, date.
Now the date simply tells us that it is
Sunday, July 29, 2001.
There we go.
Option.
We'll just go back to
calculate. Open datbook file.
Open the datbook file. That's a datebook. That's D-A-T-E book, although it's saying datbook. The datebook file is a standard grade 2 Braille file in which you keep information about your appointments. So I can open this file.
Datbook.brl is open.
And now I can go to the top of the file.
Top of file.
And it's come up Saturday, July the 14th, 2001, exec, which means that I had an executive meeting that day. I'm going to do a search now for a specific date, and I can do this by going F chord.
Find Sunday, July 29, 2001.
I'm not quite sure how. Oh, of course, because it put that in the clipboard. I think this is something that the revision of the legacy products has fixed, but it's still in the millennium. Anyway, we'll push a G chord here.
Enter a number of days or a date, MMDDYYYY.
So I can enter a number of days. I can actually type, for example, 6 days, to see if I've got an appointment in 6 days. I could just type the number 6 and press E chord.
Not found.
Okay, so I don't have anything in 6 days' time. Now, that's useful to know. I can now do an F chord.
Find Saturday, August 4, 2001.
Now, that's good, because it actually it did the conversion there, so it told me that the last thing I searched for was, in fact, Saturday, August the 4th, 2001, which is 6 days from now. I can do, let's say, 08-10-2001.
Not found.
Now, that's my fault, you see, because I didn't do a G chord. So I do an F chord.
Find 8,100,2001.
Okay, so what you're doing there is just searching for text. And that may sound a bit confusing, but you may need to do that. For example, you might not want to search by date. You might want to search on the title of an appointment. You might want to say, well, when have I got my next meeting on the governance project? I could just type the text, governance, in here. And if it's in the calendar, in the date book, it'll tell me. So I'll push a G chord, though, because I want to search by date.
Enter a number of days or a date, MMDDYYYY.
Someone says to me, what are you doing on the 10th of August? Are you free that day? I can type 08102001.
Friday, August 10, 2001. Number IJJ, grid 4, N.
Okay. But it's, I don't know why it's reading that as if I was writing it in grade 1. We'll just go and check here. We'll go into the status
menu.
Menu.
Serial tracking on. See, Braille translator off.
Oh, that's because the Braille translator's off. So we'll turn it on.
Space, Braille translator on.
There we go. So that's fixed that problem. And it tells me that Friday, August the 10th, 2001, at 9 o'clock, I have a GRIT meeting, Governance Reform Implementation Team. So I'm spoken for that morning. So that's how the datebook works. You can open the datebook file and search for text, you can search for appointments based on how many days from now, or you can search for a specific date. The datebook organizes itself in chronological order. So if I find that I do have a meeting that comes up before the 10th of August that's not in there, then it will place the appointment for me in the correct place, provided that I use the utilities that are provided for entering datebook information. So it's just a simple text file, but it does the job pretty well. There is no facility for alarm, though. We'll come back to that, I think, when we enter an appointment. We'll go back to the options menu.
Open datebook file, datebook entry.
In fact, here we are at datebook entry. So I'm going to enter an appointment and show you how this works. We'll push E-cord to accept datebook entry, and we can also verify that the hotkey for this is
E.
I'm a big fan of this, because if you just make a point of learning the hotkeys for the functions that you use regularly, you can zip around this machine quite quickly.
At datebook entry, enter a number of days or a date, MMDDYYYY.
Alright, so it's giving me the chance to enter a number of days or a date in the American format, and you can't alter that. So if you are like most of the world and you enter your date differently, well, you just have to get used to this. I'm going to enter 4. We're going to make an appointment for 4 days from now.
For Thursday, August 2, 2001. Enter event text.
And it confirms that 4 days from now is, as I record this, Thursday the 2nd of August 2001. And it wants me to enter the event text. So I'm going to... This is a free form field. It doesn't ask you for the time of the appointment or anything. You can put a time in here, but you don't have to. So I'm going to... what will I be doing? Oh, yes, I do know what I'll be doing. So I just type in here... visit...
I-S-I-T space dot six...
Wellington...
W... L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N.
Alright, and we'll push E-cord.
Okay.
So that's how you enter a datebook entry. It's pretty simple, but you are unable to set any kind of alarm or pre-warning. I suppose there might be a bit of technology involved in the machine turning on and giving you a warning if it's been switched off, but you can't even set an alarm to trigger and remind you of the appointment even when the unit is turned on. So in that regard, I think it could do with a bit of work. Another thing it doesn't do is recurring appointments, so that if you want to set something up to do the first Monday or the third Monday in the month, there's no way that you can do that. Now, you may, I think I raised this point with Alan Holst when we were speaking about the legacy product update for the older family of BrailleLite note takers, and he did make the point that you could probably do something with a macro for that. However, it's not built into the unit, and I'd like to see that done. So that is about the size of the datebook, really. I guess it's functional and gets the job done. Let's get back to the options menu.
Option, quickly open datebook entry, file commands.
We've showed you the file commands.
Smart calendar.
The smart calendar is quite a fun feature. We will go in there, and the hotkey for it is
G.
So
enter a number of days or a date, MMDDYYYY.
The idea of the smart calendar is simply to find out, really, the day of the week that something's going to fall. So, for example, somebody says, well, we've got a function coming up on the 21st of September, and I think, I wonder what day that is. I can just type 09212001 and press enter.
Friday, September 21, 2001.
That fixes that one. Now, we can also...
Option, enter a number of days or a date, MMDDYYYY.
Back in the smart calendar. What day, for example, was the 4th of July, 1776? I'm sure every good American citizen knows that. As a person who is neither good nor an American citizen, I don't have a clue. So I can type 07-04-1776.
Thursday, July 4, 1776.
There you go, Thursday, July the 4th, 1776. So there's all sorts of uses to which you can put this function. That is the smart calendar.
Option, check date, open datebook, file, connect, smart calendar, calculate line.
Calculate line. This is a great feature. I find it very useful when you are summing a list of expenses. And so you can write a number of figures in a line in your word processor document and get them calculated.
Open the previously opened file.
And we know that the command for that is
L.
So that will actually, that's another way to do the same thing as OU chord. You can go O chord L if you want to.
Open currently selected file. Open phone book.
So that takes us to the phone book, and that's the next major feature that we're going to look at the Braille Lite Millennium. It is a standard Braille text file, once again, and you can add entries to it. By opening the phone book, you can do a search on any field in there simply by using your F chord command. So you can find a last name, an address, etc., just by typing in a string for which you want to search. Let's add an entry and show you what we can do here.
Phone book.
Phone book.
Name.
And it's asking me for the name of this entry. So I will type out
O-U-T space
of
F space I-G-H-T
and press. I should be able to actually type in grade 2, shouldn't I? So let's just A-G. Back up here with B chord as the backspace key, by the way.
I.
And.
G-H.
Yeah, there we go. G-H-T.
T. Title.
And it's asking me for the title here, so I'll just leave that blank.
Company.
I'm just pushing E chord to move through.
Address.
And we'll leave that blank.
Address to city.
City, we'll put Whanganui.
Dot W-A-N-G-A-N-U-I state.
No states here.
Zip code.
And we do have a postal code, so we'll put
number sign
5001.
Home phone.
And we'll leave that blank.
Word phone.
We'll put 06.
Number sign JF36CDH3HAPG.
Now, the Braille light doesn't seem to know that this is a number field, so it's speaking the letters.
Pager.
Well, I don't have one.
Cell phone.
Well, we'll leave that blank.
Fax.
We'll leave that blank too.
Email.
So you can put an email address here. There doesn't seem to be a way, by the way, to link the email address field with the email client at this stage. We are going to show you the email client.
Web address.
Web address. We'll leave that blank.
Comment.
And there's a freeform comment field.
Okay.
And now it's been added. So you can, in fact, also use commands to short circuit that process. You can, there's a command you can press that will immediately exit the phone book entry process when you've entered all of the fields that you were going to enter. So you don't have to go through that whole process if you don't want to, if you know you're finished. That's the phone book, essentially, and you can just, having added that, go in. We can do it, in fact, O chord, P chord.
Phone.brl is open.
And now I can search, I'll go to the top of the file and search on the word site.
S-G-H-T.
S-I-G-H, oops, I've done that wrongly, so we'll, yeah, okay.
Not found.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Find it.
So if I, S-I-G-H-T.
Site, Whanganui 5001, word phone.
So it's found the entry instantly, and I've got the information that I need. Fairly simple concept, but it works well.
Options.
Let's go back.
File. Smart Calc. Open current. Open phone book. Phone book. Review mode.
Review mode allows you to take a look at a document and not alter it. So you're not in any danger of bumping any command that's going to do some sort of dreadful damage to that important file.
Set time date.
This allows you to set the time and the date. That's a fairly easy process. We just push E chord to do that.
Set.
And now we're in a menu.
American time. European time. Time. Date.
Now, by American time and European time, they mean 12 and 24-hour format. We'll go into European time.
European time set.
Okay. And now what does it want?
Edit line. Word phone 3.
Yeah, okay. We're back at the phone book. So, presumably now when I do an O chord T for time.
Option 14:01.
Yeah, it says 14:01 instead of 2:01 p.m. And by the way, when the time's up on the Braille display, it's clicking away gently there, and we are watching the seconds tick by. So we can also go back,
set.
And we can set date.
Enter date and type.
Enter date MMDDYY, and so we would just type the date in there. If I push E chord, I think it will accept the default that's currently set.
Invalid input.
No, it won't. Well, it's got me out of there anyway. And we can also set the time as well in a similar way.
Options, file, smart count, open
phone. Just moving through the options menu. And as you can hear, it's pretty responsive.
Review, set time, uppercase proof mode.
Uppercase proof mode is a feature I don't recall seeing in previous incarnations of the Braille Lite. It allows you to hear the word cap before words that are capitalized, and cap before words that have double capitals.
Speech.
This will turn the speech on and off.
Toggle Braille layout mode.
Braille layout mode is something that we've spoken about with Alan Holst when that feature was introduced in last year's update. So I won't spend too much time on it, given the time constraints we have. And you can, in fact, go back in the main menu archives and check that out if you're interested. But especially with a 40-cell Braille display like we have here, it's very good because if you're dealing with columns, where it's more appropriate to move directly down a line of numbers, for instance, or some other function where linear layout is all important, this is a good feature.
Stopwatch.
Now, let's go and have a look at the stopwatch. There's a couple of facets to this. The hotkey is W.
W, stopwatch ready.
And currently, the stopwatch is saying 00000.0. I'm going to press .6.
Running.
And now, the stopwatch is running. You know, this may seem like a pretty insignificant feature, but you know, there's no end of tasks where a stopwatch can be jolly useful. Now, it took me 13 seconds to say that. Let's just push the space bar.
17 seconds, 9 tenths.
17 seconds, 9 tenths, and it's ticking away there very excitedly. I can press the .3 key.
26 seconds, stopped, reset.
And it stopped and reset the stopwatch. See, if I do a question mark chord from here.
Say what?
It says, say what, isn't it great?
Say what?
Say what? So there's no help in here. You've, again, got to pop out of the stopwatch, go into the help file, and read it, and then come back into the stopwatch again. Let's just set the stopwatch running again.
Running.
And it's running. I can just check at any time.
3 seconds, 1 tenth.
And off it goes. Now I can push .6 this time.
8 seconds, stopped.
And it stopped. So now if I hit .6 again.
Running.
And
9 seconds, 5 tenths.
So it's picked up from where it left off.
13 seconds, 1 tenth, stopped, reset.
That's the stopwatch. But if I do a number sign chord, I think, and actually just number sign.
Enter countdown minutes.
There we go. Enter countdown minutes. I'm going to put 0 here.
0. Enter countdown seconds.
And put 45.
45. Counting.
And now we're on the countdown timer, and I can see that it's reading 41, 40, 39. I can push the space bar.
0 minutes, 37 seconds remaining.
And yes, indeed. So this is a good feature if you're baking something. I reckon this is great for that. Or, you know, cooking something, and you have to put something on for a given period. And you want to be advised. Or somebody important says, call me back in 15 minutes. Yeah, call me back in 5. So you can set the countdown timer going. Very good. And we're just going to let it tell us exactly what it's going to do. It's got 7 seconds to run. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Time is up.
Yeah, and it's going to keep doing that until I hit the space bar or some other key.
Say what?
Oh, well, I hit .5 just because I reached out and hit it, and it said, say what? So, anyway, it stopped the noise, and we're back at the stopwatch. So the countdown timer is tucked away in the stopwatch there. Let's get out of here.
Exit.
Let's go back to the options menu. I think we've just about done them
option,
all.
Option, open the, open, open, reset time, get time, uppercase, speech, toggle, stop, Windisk.
Windisk, we've briefly talked about.
Execute program.
Execute program is where we can run a number of options. The shortcut key is
X,
and we're going to show you that shortly.
Say alarm.
Now, I'm not quite sure why that say alarm function is there, because it just seems to give me the time and date. So I don't know. And then the final option there is serial number. And so those are the options from the options menu of the Braille Light Millennium. As you can hear, it's got lots of features tucked away in there. What I'd like to do briefly now is show you that the Braille Light has a very good macro capability. The ability to write macros can be used for everything from automating a simple task that you do regularly that may involve a lot of keystrokes, right through to some fairly complex arguments. There's, I think, a separate macro editing utility out there that does allow you to do some really good stuff. The macros are stored in a file called macros.sys. And we can write a macro quite simply. You'll note that I have been opening the manual quite a few times, and to do that I've had to do an O chord and an F and an O and then m40man.txt. Wouldn't it be good if we could access the manual from pretty much anywhere with a single keystroke, or I guess a couple of keystrokes. Well, we can do that by writing a simple macro. Even I can do this. So what I need to do to record this macro is press an N chord.
Macro storage.
And it's asking me for the letter of the macro here. It says macro storage. And you do have to give your macro a one-character name. So I'm going to call it M, because I figure that M for manual will be something that I remember.
Recording.
And it tells me that it's recording now. So I now need to just enter the keystrokes that I want this macro to perform. Easy, isn't it? Just do an O chord.
Option.
And then F.
Flash startup, flash folder, now open, enter file command.
Now O for open file.
File to open.
And I want M40 man dot txt. And then enter.
M40man.txt, now open.
I'm going to now turn off the recording of my macro by pressing N chord again.
Macro end.
Macro end. It's done. We made a macro. Now, I'm going to play this macro back, but before I do that, I'm going to press one other command, which will silence the playback of this macro, so we don't get speech reporting every step. And that's just a K chord.
Silence macros.
And it says silence macros. So now, I'm going to go into another file, actually.
Option, flash, fb-mail.doc2, alt,
oh, where do we go here? Where do we go?
Not in folder mode. Enter file, folder mode.
Why not? Here we go.
File number 19, review.bi.
Okay, I'm in my review file now. I'm in my review file, and I want to look up the manual. Now I can just press J chord, which is the command that says, hey, I'm going to run a macro.
Macro.
And I'll push M for manual. And look at that, I'm now back in the manual, and to confirm that, I just do
m4eman.txt, 34 pages is open, enter file command.
That's it, that tells me that the file is open. So, in a very simple way, I have now just made my life a whole lot easier. J chord M will take me to the manual pretty much from anywhere, so I can quickly look up information that I need. And that is the most basic form of macro. But as I say, you can do all sorts of conditional things. Macros can be little programs in themselves, really. I have actually written one, for example, that does some pretty nifty conversion to Grade 2 Braille files so that the paragraph commands and the Braille light work. And I actually wrote that on the Braille Lite 18 that I have, and it seems that the macro.sys file format has changed in some way, because my highly technical macro no longer runs. Certainly on the Braille Lite Millennium itself, it doesn't appear to come with any sort of conversion utility from the old format to the new, but maybe there's a way of doing that. I certainly hope there is, because I spend a lot of time doing that macro, and it must be possible to make sure that there is a bridge between the two macro formats. Now we're going to take a look now at a feature which does allow the Braille Lite to read Word documents. And what it does in this context is to simply convert a Word file to a plain ASCII text file. So there is absolutely no preserving at all of formatting commands of any kind. So it's just a straight ASCII dump, but it's, I guess, better than nothing. So I'm going to show you how this works. For whatever reason, and I've noticed this with pretty much all of the major new features of the Millennium, they haven't included them in the standard user interface. Whether that's some sort of memory issue, I don't know. It's possible that they've run out of whatever the space is in which they put the code, because keep in mind, this is still, although there are some new features in here, it's still the same processor that's always been used for these note takers, so the same, well, at least the same fundamental architecture. So there are advantages and disadvantages with this approach of having some of these new features as external programs. The disadvantages, of course, relate to user interface. It's just a little bit more clumsy to do the O chord X thing and execute the program, or find it and then execute it. However, on the other hand, it's likely that Freedom Scientific will be coming up with quite regular updates to some of these new features, particularly the email. I'm led to believe from Freedom Scientific that there are actually going to be a number of free updates coming out, particularly building on the email functionality, before next summer. And so if you can just go to the FTP site or log on to the website and download the BNS program for the email, let's say, well, I guess that makes it a lot easier than going through the process of updating your unit, which is friendly enough, but it's still time-consuming, and I guess many of us tend to bite our nails when we update our firmware for the note takers. So there are good points and bad points about having these new features as external programs, and I can certainly see why in this early stage of the BrailleLite Millennium they may want to keep them as external programs. So we're going to execute this program with an argument, with a command line parameter. So we'll do O chord X.
Option, enter program to execute.
And we have to type doc.
D-O-C.
And the number 2.
2.
TXT.
TXT space.
And I have my thesis on here, which is a long document. It's 93 BrailleLite pages. So we're looking at, well, a little under 400K as a Word document. And so I'm going to type thesis.
THESIS.
Dot.
Period.
Doc.
DOC.
And press E chord.
Input file is thesis.doc. Output file is thesis.txt. Converting document. Please wait. Version. Word date.
And it tells me that it's converting the document, please wait, and that it's verified that the version is Word 8. It's now gone away to convert.
Conversion is done, okay.
Well, that's not too bad, actually. It didn't take too long at all. We'll go and have a look at that. I guess that the finished product will be in RAM, because it has to be. But I did actually have that large program, that large document, the thesis file, in flash memory. So.
Books flash RAMs.
RAM
file number 20, thesis.txt, 63 pages.
This is a large file by anyone's standard, 63 pages of BrailleLite text. And that would make it roughly about 250K, give or take a bit, of pure text. Let's open it.
Thesis.txt, now open.
I am instantly at the top of the file. And it has converted it. Let's have a look at it.
Benchmarks for Equality of Opportunity for People with Disabilities by Jonathan Mosen, PA, a thesis.
Yeah. We'll push a dots 456 chord.
Enter file.
I'm there right away. Look, it's just got me straight there. And that's pretty cool. Now, because we're in such a large document, it's probably a good opportunity for me to show you the whiz wheels.
Top of file.
And I'm straight at the top. But before I talk about the whiz wheels, I have found one little glitch with this. And I have been able to reproduce it quite predictably, but in a very specific set of circumstances. Once you've converted a document of this kind, a Word document, to text, then you can turn View and Grade 2 mode on, and you often find that when there are what they call the smart quotes in Word that pop up, it seems that that throws a wobbly on the Braille display with View and Grade 2 mode, and I have suddenly out of nowhere seen these spurious copyright 1996 Blazy Engineering messages popping out of the woodwork. And so that's a bit disconcerting. You can't also, I don't think, make a Word document. It would, I guess, be progress if all those dollar commands could be converted into Word styles or something with a save utility, but that doesn't appear to be here yet. Anyway, I do have a text version of this document on the screen now, on the Braille display now. And let's have a look at the whiz wheels. There's one of these whiz wheels on either end. They are, little round wheels. And you can program them to do one of three functions. I'm going to press the left whiz wheel down. I'm not going to turn it. You can turn it sort of upwards and downwards, but I'm going to just press it down.
Sentences.
It says sentences. That means that when I push the whiz wheel sort of towards me, it's going to move me a sentence at a time. And in fact, it is. I'm just doing that now. Now, if I just move the microphone a bit closer to the display, you'll hear that when I turn this whiz wheel rapidly, you can probably hear the Braille display quickly scrolling through. And with every click, it's taking me a sentence through the document. So that's why they call them whiz wheels, because you can quickly whiz through. And you can also program them to do other functions. We'll just press it down here.
Paragraphs.
Now it's going to take me a paragraph at a time. I'm doing that. And it is. In fact, I've just been whizzing around here, And already I'm at...
Enter page 9.
Page 9. That's absolute page 9. So, as the name implies, you can really whiz through the document.
Lines.
And now we're back to...
Sentences, paragraphs, lines.
So you can have the whiz wheels at both ends doing the same thing, or you can have one whizzing you through by sentences and another by paragraph or whatever. And you can move forward and back. And that's how the whiz wheels essentially work. This isn't a feature, I must say, that really grabs me in a huge way, but I can, I guess, see that it might be quite nice to quickly scroll through large documents, particularly if you're dealing with a nicely behaved document with, say, legal paragraphs, 1.1, 1.2, etc., and you can quickly whiz around and someone says, you know, go further down the page. I guess it's certainly a nice feature to have, and it does do exactly what it says it will do. While we're in a large document like this, I'm going to just see how quickly it will search for something. And I'm going to search on something I know is not until towards the very bottom of this very long document of mine. So we'll do an F chord.
Enter text to find.
And I'm going to type the name Woodward. W-O-O-D-W-A-R-D and push E chord.
Woodward, John R. Disabled Manifesto.
And it's found it, and it's on page...
Enter page 63.
Absolute page 63. And how many pages are we?
Enter page 63.
Yeah, so it's at the very last page, and I was searching from the top of the file. This is a big file, so it searched around about 200-odd K. I guess, you know, that's not super fast, but it is super fast when going from the top to the bottom of the file, and it's a question of strategies. If you knew, for example, that that particular string was closer to the bottom than the top, then what you would do is you go to the bottom.
Enter file.
Now do a F chord.
Find Woodward.
And it's already there, so I do a question mark chord to search backwards.
Woodward.
And it's found it.
John Disabled Manifesto.
So you do have to just develop some strategies for effective use of the machine, but in fact that found it pretty quickly. And since we're on the subject of finding things, I should mention that there is an excellent replace feature here. You can replace all occurrences of a string with another string, or whole words, a whole lot of different options like that. Actually, it's very powerful, and pretty much what you would expect to find in the most powerful of word processors in terms of search and replace. The other thing that to me is just priceless, really brilliant, is the fact that you can search through your entire note taker for a certain string. And there's just so much power in here, and unfortunately, again, absolutely no context-sensitive help that I've got the manual in front of me to help me to tell you about this. What we've been doing when I've been finding things is simply doing an F chord, typing in the text we wanted to find, and doing an E chord, and that's the most basic of finds. However, if you press an F chord again after you've typed in the string that you want to find, instead of pressing an E chord, you can do a number of things. You can search through all files, all RAM files, all flash files. You can search only the files in the current folder. You can search for only Braille files. You can search Duxbury or Megadots files. You can search only text files, small files, 2 pages or less. You can search medium files, 3 to 10 pages. You can search large files, which are over 10 pages long. You can make files searches case sensitive. You can do a quiet search, so you can stop those beeps even if you have them turned on. And there are a whole lot of other features, including listing matches and clipboard, and you can mix and match these search results. So let's say, for example, I'm going to do a search on the word disability. I'm going to press an F chord.
Find F dash chord.
And now I'm going to press disability. I've got the keyboard echo turned off, by the way, now. Disability, and do an F chord.
Enter search options.
And I'll just press A and then E chord.
M4Eman.txt.
Now, it's thesis telling dot me... Dot. There we go.
Thesis dot doc select left parent C comma O comma S or Z dash core to abort.
So now we've come up with some options because it's found a hit on disability in thesis.doc. If I press O...
Thesis.doc, now open.
It's opened the file and put me at the first occurrence of the word disability in thesis.doc. So by opening the file, I've gone in and abandoned the search. But this is fantastic. If you know that you've got a file somewhere with a reference to a particular thing and you just haven't got a clue where it is, what folder it's in, what the file name is, but you need the information and you need it now to be able to do a text search across your whole note taker is just fantastic. What I'd like to do now is demonstrate the email features of the BrailleLite Millennium. This is all new. Now I'm going to explain how this works. Firstly, if you were using the email for the first time, you would need to run the wizard to configure your email parameters. The wizard makes a mail configuration file with all the details about your account and your POP server, etc. on there. There's no way to use multiple accounts except that you could create multiple config files and use macros to rename them. So if you want to do that, it's not too difficult to write macros to make that happen. I guess that's another good thing about the macro language is that you can in some form at times implement features that aren't really quite there in the machine. So we have to run this wizard. We'll go to OCord.
Option.
X.
Enter program to execute.
And the name of the program is Wizard. W-I-Z-A-R-D.
Configuration file exists. Press enter to overwrite. Escape to exit.
Well, I am going to press enter because I'm going to show you how this works.
Please enter your full name that will appear in the from field of the outgoing message. For example, John Doe.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, you notice that it is echoing the keystrokes even though I've got the keyboard echo turned off, which is annoying.
N-A question mark.
Okay, so it needs to be grade 1.
A. T-H-A-N space.
And actually, I need to back up here because it's going to... Yeah, okay, oh, very good. Because it is going to be grade 1, I need to do an U chord for uppercase.
Uppercase.
And then J.
J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N space.
Space, and then uppercase.
Uppercase, M-O-S-E-N.
And now we'll do an E chord.
You entered Jonathan Mosen. Is this information correct? Press Y to continue and to edit. Up arrow to step back.
Yes.
Please enter your email address. For example, doe@sample.net.
And I'll put my email address here, which will be...
J-O-N-A-T-H-A-N.
Then to do an at sign, I do a U chord.
Uppercase.
And dot 4.
At M-O-S-E-N period O-R-G. You entered jonathan@mosen.org. Is this information correct? Press Y to continue and to edit. Up arrow to step back.
I don't know why they say up arrow to step back. I wonder if they mean dot one chord.
Please enter your full name.
Yes,
that
they
will
do.
In the front
okay.
Field of you entered Jonathan Mosen. Is this information? Please enter your email address. For example, please enter your email address.
Okay, it didn't take that.
For
so
example, J-O-N-A-T-A-A-N uppercase at M-O-S-E-N period you entered.
Yes.
Please enter tone or pulse dialing. Press T or P.
So we want to dial in tones. In fact, what people may not know outside of New Zealand is that the pulses are in reverse here. So in the States and everywhere in the world, as far as I'm aware, except New Zealand, if you dial the number 1 in pulses, that's 1 pulse. But in New Zealand, it's 9 pulses. Okay, so we're going to hit T for tone.
You entered tone. Is this information correct? Press Y.
Yes.
Please enter phone number for dial-up access.
And the phone number I'm going to enter is...
08730330.
I entered that in lowercase because we're doing all of this in computer braille.
You entered 08730330. Is this information correct? Please enter your account login name given by your internet service provider for dial-up access.
Okay, this is where I'm going to, even though I couldn't really do this on the machine itself, I'm actually going to take advantage of the fact that I'm doing this through a mixer and turn the channel off and type in my login name. And verifying on the braille display that it's correct. You can, of course, turn the speech completely off. Now it's asking me, please enter your password given by your internet service provider. So I'm entering that, and it does come back on the display. And then it repeats this and says, is this information correct? Yes, it is. Now it wants my outgoing SMTP server, so I am going to type that. And you notice that I've been meaning to find a place to comment on this. The keyboard is actually quite noisy. I'll come back to that. Yes, that information is correct. It's confirming it for me. And now it wants my incoming mail server, so I'm entering that. Yes, that's correct. Now it says, please enter your account login name given by your internet service provider. So this is for the mail. So I'm typing in my mail account login name, and yes, it's correct. And now it wants my password, so I'm typing that. Yes, it's correct. And now I think we are safe to... Yeah, it says the...
Okay.
The configuration file was created successfully, and it's dropped me out of that program. Now, there are two, now that we've configured it, there are two programs involved in using the email client on a regular basis. One gets the mail, and one reads and writes the mail. So let's go and get the mail. And we'll go to X for execute external program.
Enter program to execute.
And the program is mailer. And it's now thinking about life, which is a good thing to do from time to time, I'm sure you'll agree.
Dialing.
Now, it says it's dialing. You can hear that it is now making the call. I don't think we'll get a terribly high connection rate because the line I've just got things plugged into is a DSL. It has DSL running on it as well, and that tends to have fun with modem connections. Just see what we get here. And the Millennium
connect
does tell us.
44,000 V42 bis. Modem response : connect 44,000 V42 bis. Establishing VPP connection.
So a 44K connection. Now it's establishing the PPP connection.
Done. No outgoing messages. Establishing POP3 connection. Done. One new message. Receiving message 1. Done. Disconnecting.
There we go. I've actually cleared the mail before this because I tend to get lots of messages. Now, that's the end of the process of getting the mail. First, it seeks to send messages, then it receives them. That's pretty much okay in most situations. I would like to see an option added where you could specify that you wanted to send mail after receiving. My reason for that is that there are some mail servers these days with... increased awareness of spam issues where they require a POP3 authentication first, but you don't appear to be able to specify the order of events on the Braille light. Another big oversight in the configuration facets of this is that you can't elect to leave mail on the server. And in a note taker, I think that is a biggie because sometimes you want to quickly check your mail, reply to the urgent stuff, but you may want to go back to your desktop and download that mail again, particularly if you're the kind of person that needs to file your mail in different folders on your main email checking machine. And another issue relates to the fact that you can't reject attachments over a certain size. And on a note taker, again, I think that's a biggie, because if somebody's sending you an attachment and it's just too large and you've got lots of files in your note taker, you want to be able to just tell the system, look, I'll look at that later when I get back to my desktop. And actually, with this ridiculous virus that everybody's getting at the moment that says, hi, how are you? I'm sending you this file for your advice. Some of those files that it attaches are actually quite large, and so that can really be a bottleneck trying to clear mail on note takers like this.
Option.
Let's go into the mail reading program, which is a separate program, mail read. I'm typing the mail read command.
Starting, please wait. Inbox contains one messages, one new messages from Jonathan Mosin less than Jonathan at Mosin.org greater than.
And so it's said that this is from me. What do we do here? Well, there is no help. If I do a question mark code.
From Jonathan Mosin less than Jonathan at Mosin.org greater than.
It just makes a beep, and there is no way to get any help. The only way to get help, in fact, is to get out of the mail client and read the text file that tells you about the email client, which I really think is most unfortunate. We can do a .6 code to move through the header information.
Subject, hello. Date, Sun, 29JL20011501281200. Size, 1453. Size, 1453.
And that's about it.
Date, Sup, from, CC. 2, less than Jonathan Atmos in, status, new.
There
status
we go. So,
new.
Quite a bit of header information there that we can access, and we can just press E chord to get us into the message.
Read message, exit with C chord, top of file, Jonathan Mosin, mail to jonathan@mosin.org.
And there we go, we've just got my short little test message that I sent. It's come up in grade 1 braille, and I'm not sure that there is a way to turn view in grade 2 on for this. If I do the status menu, I can't get in there. But I can read my message and then do a Z chord.
To less than jonathan@mosin.org.
And I'm back into the message header. I can now reply to this message. Let's try that. I'll do an R for reply.
To Jonathan Mosin less than jonathan@mosin.org greater than.
That's correct. So I'll just push E chord to continue.
Subject, re, hello.
That's fine. So I'll press enter again, or E chord.
Enter message, exit with Z chord, top of file, greater than Jonathan Mosin, greater than.
All right,
than
now what you've got here, I'll just stop that, is the message, the quoted message, and I'm at the top of the file. So if I write my message here, it appears above the quoted text. If I want to delete all of the quoted material, I can just do a D chord.
Enter delete parameter.
Z, which is delete from here to the end of the file.
All.
And then E chord.
Okay.
And it's gone. And I'm in a blank file, and I can just type... Oh, I have to type in grade 1, which I find it hard to get used to. But anyway, we'll... So I have to type...
Uppercase.
This is a reply. And now I'm going to push Z chord.
S to send, or C to cancel this message.
We'll push S to send.
Message copy to outbox 2, less than Jonathan.
And now we're back in the folder, which shows us in the inbox folder, which gives us the list of messages. I have had a couple of instances, and I can't reliably verify them or reproduce them, where I've been in a file and accidentally done a chord command. I think it may have been an OU chord and popped out of the file and then come back into it with another OU chord and found that I couldn't get myself back into the email client. But I haven't been able to reproduce that reliably. Sometimes that sequence of keys works just fine. I've also had a series of messages saying file seek failed. I took the BrailleLite away with me about a week ago for quite an extended period, you know, 3 or 4 days away, and it was my sole source of email. And I found that I was getting a lot of these file seek failed messages that were preventing me from downloading or sending mail. Sometimes I would write a whole lot of replies, and then when I tried to upload them, I kept getting this file seek failed message. And so I would have to delete the mailbox file, which is easy to do because it's just sitting in the RAM memory, and have another go. But that means that I did lose all of my replies that I had written and the original messages. So it's a little bit temperamental. I suppose this is fairly new software, but you know, it does worry me. But I also think it's a shame that you can't read the mail and write the mail in grade 2. And of course, the whole question of email filters. I think I recall speaking to someone from Lazy last year about this, and they said that there were going to be filters in the email client. They're not there yet. They may well be making it there. But when you're getting mail from a range of lists, it would be a huge bonus to be able to move that mail into different folders so that you can work through it in a methodical kind of way. It's good that there's a 56K modem there. That's pretty much all there is, because there's no infrared port for any faster connectivity, and I don't think that there's a way. Yeah, there's no PCMCIA card slot either, so I don't think there's a way that you will even eventually get network connectivity with this device. So the 56K modem is what there is, and it seems to do a pretty good job. The connectivity rates are not too bad, and the modem connections do appear to be quite reliable. Now I'm going to delete this message that I'm sitting on in the inbox here with a D.
Message moved to deleted. No messages in inbox.
Let's just show you how easy it is to send a message. I'll do an N for new,
two.
And I'll address the message to myself.
J O N A T H A N uppercat M O S E N period O R G.
And press E chord.
Subject.
Hello. Whoops.
H E L L O C C.
And this is the carbon copy option here.
Mark file to be attached. Exit with C cord. Thesis.doc. Attachment 1.
And you'll notice that there happens to be no blind carbon copy there, BCC field. I'm not sure how much of a big issue that is. I don't use it too often, but I guess some people may, so it's not here. Now I can mark files that I want to attach to this message. And I can, well, we won't certainly attach the thesis one.
Thesis.m40man.rnzfb.brf.email.txt.
I'm just moving through. There doesn't appear to be any way to move through the different folders when you're going through the files to mark for attachment, which is a shame. But let's see.
Email.txt.
This email.txt file is quite short, so I'm going to press the space bar.
Email.txt marked for attachment 1. Email.txt attachment 2. Email.txt attachment 2.
Okay, I need to press a Z cord now.
Enter message. Exit with Z cord. File is empty. File is empty.
Okay, and I can just write here.
Uppercase.
Attached. Please find the info on email client. Got to get used to typing in grade 1 like that. I'll push a Z cord.
S to send, or C to cancel this message.
I'll press S for send.
File verification failed. No messages in inbox.
Now, that's, you see, what I mean. it's just done it for me now. File verification failed, which means that I can't send any more messages. I don't know what it is that causes that, but it's extremely temperamental to the point that I wouldn't want to rely on it. Finally, before I leave the email, there's one other bug that is annoying, and that is the fact that the client doesn't appear to respect the reply to header in email messages. For example, if I download to the Browlite some mail from a Yahoo Groups list that I am on, and I reply to the message, instead of going to the group, which is what the reply to header expects and instructs, the email client will actually reply to the original poster of the message and not to the entire list. So that's another thing that hopefully they will address as this email client matures. So that concludes our overview of the Braillite Millennium 40, apart from a few closing comments. In summary, the 40 cell braille display is good. 40 cells is good. We haven't talked much about the Braillite Millennium as a braille display in this review, but it works really well, and the whiz wheels do work in that context as well. The switch that allows you to quickly flip between being a note taker and being a braille display is good, although there are other products that do that with a command, so I don't know whether the switch makes it particularly easier, but the fact that you can, through whatever mechanism, switch quite readily between note taker and screen reader braille display is good. The cells on the unit are adequate. They're not the best that I've felt, but there's certainly, you couldn't point to them and say there necessarily was anything wrong with them. They're clear enough. And they, at least on the unit that I have been very reliable. There's no criticism of them in that regard. The keyboard on the Braillite Millennium 40 is amazingly noisy. To try and give you an example, and it is difficult with microphones because they pick up things and amplify things in an interesting way, but I have at roughly the same distance from the microphone the Braillite 18 and the Braillite Millennium. Here's the keyboard on the Braillite 18. Alright, and now, roughly the same distance, here is the keyboard on the Braillite Millennium. Now, it's really noisy, and especially if you pick up a speed on this thing, it's noisy, real noisy. And I have had some people making comments as I've taken it to meetings over the last couple of weeks about how hideously noisy it is, especially when you're trying to take notes when people are talking. So I hope that that is something that will be addressed as the product matures and Freedom Scientific receives feedback on that. The advanced bars in the Braillite Millennium are also quite noisy, but they're no more noisy than the advanced bars in older versions of the Braillite. However, I was, for example, using this last week to read the main menu news briefs column. I did get a couple of comments from people who said that they could hear the clicking, and was I using a braille light? So it's definitely noticeable. That may not be a big issue. I mean, it's not super noisy like the keyboard, but there's a definite click. And I guess that's the only area where that may be an issue is if you're doing the kind of work I'm doing and you're required to read things in front of a microphone for on-air use. In most cases, I don't think that'd be a big issue. There are some things that I guess I would like to have seen. Infrared communications are pretty big these days, and I think it's a shame there's no infrared port. Maybe a PCMCIA card would be good, because at some point it would be really nice to think that the Millennium 40 might have talked to a network for email, for instance, and done a few things in the network environment. And the product has a lot of power, you know. It's lightning fast in certain areas, such as moving to the top of a file from the bottom or the bottom from the top, absolutely instantaneous. Loading a file, because of the way that the braille light is structured, is absolutely instantaneous. And that's great when you're zipping around huge, voluminous documents. The flash memory versus RAM memory, I think, is a little bit confusing. It's a shame there's just not 14 megabytes of memory that you can read and write in, because you have to get your head around thinking about which files you're going to put in which bit of space. And I really think that the interface needs a thorough reworking. As I say, there is power there. But in this day and age, it's a shame there's not more context-sensitive help. I'd like to see the file commands menu being a model for the way that the rest of the unit might progress in the future. A similar kind of menu for the calculator, for example, and the email client, and a few other features would be really nice. I am still crossing my fingers, and if I was perhaps a note-taker user who didn't need to upgrade right now, I think I would be inclined to wait for the kind of note-taker that Dick Chandler was talking about in the presentation we played on Main Menu 2 weeks ago, about a note-taker that eventually will meet all of our requirements, perhaps surfing the web and even with some OCR capabilities, fully Windows compliant with JAWS in it or something like that. Nevertheless, we have needs now, and the Braille Light Millennium is certainly worthy of consideration.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
It's time for us to log off for another week. The Main Menu team will be back with 2 more hours of technology from a blindness perspective next week. Bye for now.